Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
This morning, as we step into this series or continue on in our series, Imago Dei, as we were planning and just thinking about each week, we came to talking about a Sunday about the whole you and talking about every part of the human being, that Jesus said this, man, you and I are to love God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, the whole you. And so as we began to talk about that, I was like, well, we could do that. I could do that. But is there somebody that could really do that really well? And Emily Oakley, who has been with us several times with leading worship and stuff, she is the founder of Rebirth Ministries, which is a counseling service within here, within Wichita. And she oversees that and is involved in counseling. She's a graduate from Regent University and Evangel University, which is now the Evangel Valors. But as they changed the name here recently. She's from Mays, Kansas, so she's in our own backyard, but she's with us today to bring forth the Word of God, to talk about the whole you. And before we welcome her and have her come, just want to just plug next Sunday for you as we talk about the issue of culture's dilemma. We're going to have a gentleman here with us who has been through the ringer, so to speak, as just with the whole identity conversation. So Michael's going to be with us. It's going to be a powerful, powerful story, powerful time as we deal with the issue of sexual identity. And just how many know, it's 45, our service, about an hour and a half. We're not going to get very far in unpacking that topic. But I think it's a topic that's necessary to unpack a little bit and to have conversation about and to present right perspective, biblical perspective on it. And so that's going to be happening. You'll want to make sure you're here with us next week as we begin that. But with that, before next week, we have this week, we're going to talk about the whole you. So would you welcome Emily Oakley to the platform this morning? By the way, she is an ordained Assembly of God minister as well. Come on.
Oh, thank you. Okay, let's see if I can do this one-handed. I'm not used to being in big church. That's what I say. I'm used to being with teenagers, which I get to be with your teenagers on Wednesday, so I'm pretty excited about that. But I'm thrilled to be here. It's nice to hang out with you guys in a different capacity. I usually get to hang out up there and bug Sarah, which is really fun. But I am thrilled to be with you today to talk about this concept of the whole you. When you hear that, who thinks that sounds really big and ominous? The whole you. I do. And I will be completely honest. I am not a very effective image bearer all the time. This is something, I'm a counselor, so I spend a lot of time walking through people's mental hang-ups and their hurts and the things that keep us from being the person that God has designed us to be. That whole identity thing that you guys are going to unpack a little bit more next week. But today we're going to just kind of talk about, through the lens of David, how we take care of our whole person, how it all intertwines. How many of you, if you're really stressed, your stomach or your head tell you? You don't have to raise your hand. I will. Your body is, God has created the human body in such a unique way that everything is so interconnected. Everything plays together. And if one part suffers, which is also talking about the body, the church body, the other parts suffer with it. So we're going to talk about David today and David on the run. How many of you feel bad for David for how much time he spends in hiding? I do. Poor guy. Now, David, I mean, we know David had his ups and his downs, but a lot of what we see in Scripture is David being persecuted. David through the lens of being chased by King Saul, David being chased by his own son. And David spends a lot of time in the wilderness. So where he would have been in the Judean wilderness, and we're going to throw up some of these pictures here if you want to throw up the first one. I think if I sent Pastor Steve two or three slide presentations because I was very confused with my life. should be coming here. But this particular wilderness that they're going to show you guys is in the Judean wilderness, okay? So how many of you, has anybody in this room been to Arizona? I just came back from there. Yeah? Okay. So there's a lot of barren wasteland. There's rocks. There's not a whole lot of place to get water. There's a lot of really Grand Canyon-esque type slopes that you can fall off of. That's where most of my references are going to be today because I almost fell off of it last week. No, I didn't really. But he's in this wilderness. He's in this place where he's in trouble. And I think some of the hardest places to be are when we're in our own wildernesses. It's really hard to take care of ourselves on a consistent basis. And I'm not just talking about food or things like that. That's important. I hit 30 and my metabolism changed and what I could eat on a regular basis changed, which has been fun. And Robin knows way too much about it. Poor Robin. But I went through this journey of understanding discipline is not just when things feel good. Discipline is all the time. Discipline is all the time. We'll see if they are able to get those popped up here. We'll give it just, oh, Warren gives me the, oh, okay, they're going. These, maybe. God bless you. All right. So, oh, well, okay. So this is really hard to see, and that's my fault. So get your magnifying glass out. But this is the path that David took when he's on the run from Saul. He is all over everywhere. He runs into the Amalekites, the Philistines. He has encounters with a lot of different people. He's on the run, okay? So this is just kind of his trail, where he would have been, how he would have gotten there. If you want to go to the next one. So this is the wilderness. This is part of what they believe that wilderness to look like. I'm a visual person, so if I'm going to be talking about things, I like to know what they look like. It helps me function a little bit better. So this is the wilderness, and if we want to hit that next one. Okay, this is the Dead Sea. So this really, there's some green at the bottom of that bottom of that slope, of that big drop-off, and that is Engedi. And Engedi is an oasis. It is a place of there's water, there's nutrients, there's places to be refilled and replenished. And I believe this is where David would have gotten some of his water supply as he's going through and he's moving through. How many of us have been in those places where we've been really hungry, we've been really tired, we've been really worn out? We don't know. We felt really spiritually dry. And part of taking care of the whole person is being aware of that. A lot of my work in counseling is self-awareness. If you don't, I mean, for you parents, when your children don't understand the need to do their chores, you know, I'm kidding, but there's self-awareness that comes in walking through and in healing. So we're going to jump into some scripture here. This is David, and a lot of them believe that these are some of the psalms that he wrote while he was on the run. So this is Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And this would have been very real to David. This is where he was. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, which this is ironic because David probably wasn't getting that. We don't know what David's nourishment was when he was on the run, but if any of you have been to Arizona or any desert-type area, there's not a whole lot of, you know, I mean, the plants are fine, but they look a little brittle. I don't know that I would want to eat that. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped. The thing I love about Scripture is we get to see the highs and lows of human emotion. And David gives us the tapestry. Even the people that love Jesus the most go like this, because we're human. And it is very easy to fall by the wayside. So David in this moment is saying, God, I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to seek you. I have a very personal realization of what this feels like. I'm in a dry and weary land. My life stinks right now, God. You have called me. You have anointed me to be the king over Israel, and Saul won't let go. He's interfering with my calling. He's throwing spears at my head. I mean, I hope none of you have had literal spears thrown at your head, but I think we've all experienced hardship. The enemy is very good at coming against us. But David's focus is, I want to seek you. But he also had his moments when I was like, God, this is hard. The next passage, Psalm 142, we're going to look at. This is when he's in the cave, and scholars believe this is a big, massive cave. Oh, sorry. I made it cut off a little bit. See, this is why I don't do graphic design. I know my lane. I will stay in it. But Psalm 142, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. Okay, God. What's going on? Here I am. You've called me to this. You've asked me to do these things. And here we are. I'm going to lay out my heart. I'm going to throw my pity party. Which, now granted, if someone is chasing me down trying to kill me, I'm probably not going to feel great about my life either. However, I think we've all been in those places. It's very easy. Satan wants to distract us so much that all we see is the negative. All we see is the negative. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who take notice of me. No refuge remains to me. Nobody cares for my soul. God, I'm out here and I'm alone. No one cares about me. I'm not even eating well. I can get water over here by an Engedi, but I gotta walk like forever to get God. No one cares about me. I cry to you, O Lord, and I say, but you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison that I may give thanks to your name, for you will deal bountifully with me. So we see David. God, why? Why? And we're going to get to why I think David was able to overcome in the face of adversity, all part of this taking care of our whole person. But I have learned it is easiest to not want to take care of our whole person when we're in places, when we're in the depths. But we don't get in the depths right away. There are things that happen. We have circumstances that come in our lives. We have difficulties. We're all human beings. I've only been on this planet for 32 years, and I've had my fair share. But how we respond to things is determinant really and truly upon our level of discipline. When you are eating well, Robin tells me about Caleb's workout routine, and it makes me feel like a really bad person on the inside. I'm just kidding, not really. Or Pastor Steve, he runs, you know, there's this discipline that comes, you know, with taking care of ourselves, and we pay attention to diets, and Weight Watchers becomes a fad, and all of these things, but we so neglect our spiritual health. And when trials come, when things are hard, we fall into the depths a lot faster. Why? Because we're not getting our spiritual bread. We're not spending time in Jesus' presence. We are neglecting the bigger things. And then here comes David's moment of triumph. He has made it through this particular season. Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Wow, I made that really tiny. Does anybody else need a magnifying glass? My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol or hell entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. So David is on the other side. And I love watching King David because he shows us an image bearer who has highs and lows, who does it well and does it not so well. But David understood something. He understood the first thing. He understood the awareness of his need. He understood the need. If we do not understand how desperately, as much as we need food, if you are not feeding yourself good nutrition, I went to a wedding last night and had way too much cake, and I paid for it this morning. I can't do that anymore. But just like our bodies need good nutrients, or we get headaches, or we get stress headaches, or things like that, David understood, I need my God. And I need to pay attention to what goes on up here. The biggest battle for most of us. And I'm not saying that there aren't hardships. Please hear me. People have hard things in life. We are human. Scripture says nothing about being exempt from difficulty. Scripture does say what Pastor Steve shared as he was praying, we can take every thought captive and we can make it obedient to Christ, but we have to make that choice. And I'm going to say something very harsh. Please forgive me. We are lazy. And it's killing us. It is killing us spiritually. We come into the house and we listen to the music, which was so fitting. And we hear these songs and we don't actually understand the words that we're singing. I surrender all. That is a hard statement to make. God, I give you everything. Everything and nothing less. Why is that hard? Because it requires faith. It requires understanding, I need something bigger than myself to step in, to help me when I'm in the wilderness, when I'm feeling good. We're really good about neglecting our spiritual health too when things feel good. We can coast. I'm good. I can hang out. I'm doing all right. But what does Scripture say? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have to be on guard. This isn't some blasé, and I'm not trying, this is not a like legalistic sermon at you here. This is I deal with mental health every day. And the one thing that always pulls people through is Jesus. An awareness of need. David understood if we don't take care of it all, if we let our physical components start to drift, if we let our mental components start to drift. If all you're thinking is negative thoughts, Don't fire me. Don't tell my clients to not come see me. Just kidding. You don't know who they are. But something bad takes place. Something bad is happening. If all I can think about is negative, and that doesn't, again, we have hardships, but God designed your mind to win, and we don't walk in that. And you have to. And it's a choice. What am I feeding myself? And we're going to get there. Second thing, what we give our focus. Who? And that's part of the nourishment. David understood what he gave. What I give my nourishment, or what I give my focus, is what's going to take up my mental real estate. If all I'm thinking about, Here's my true confession. I am really good about thinking about absolutely everything I cannot control. I'm really good at it. I have an insatiable need to want to know it all. And not because I want to be a know-it-all, but because I hate variables. I'm not good at it. I'm really not. I don't like having, Robin can attest, she and I have had many heart-to-hearts because her office is right next to mine, so it's very convenient. But I want to know, God, how is this going to pan out? I see this person doing something destructive. Something God spoke to me while I was in Arizona. Emily, why do you spend so much time trying to fix other people you can't even fix yourself? Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm really good at that with my clients. I'm really good at putting like that of understanding, I can't fix you. And I tell them that when they walk in the door, hi, my name is Emily and I can't fix you. I mean, not really. That'd be a little, be weird. But I would spend so much time focusing on that it would rob me. Being a Christian is so simple yet so hard. What am I giving my focus? Am I paying attention to Jesus? Am I looking at him? God has said three words to me since 2015, eyes on me. And David understood that. I'm not going to be able to take care of my whole person if I'm looking everywhere else but Jesus. For you guys that are parents, wow, I don't know what that feels like yet. I will. I don't know yet. But I can't imagine what it feels like to watch your children. If some of you have children that aren't serving the Lord, I don't know what that feels like. But am I going to focus on what I can't control? Or am I going to focus on the one who can heal? We have very much in our world minimalized the power of prayer. And it's destroying our churches. We need the Holy Spirit. That is where wisdom comes from. And David understood that. If I'm focusing on everything I can't fix, if I'm focusing on everything I can't control, if I'm focusing on that really awful coworker of mine who's super annoying and I want to throw bricks at their head, please don't throw bricks at your coworker's head. You're going to end up in prison and that's not fun for anybody. But if I'm focusing on everything that takes me away from the peace, from the fruits of the Spirit, if my life is not emanating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, my focus is off. And I don't do it perfectly. This is not I've got this figured out. I don't. I think that's part of the reason God made me a counselor. It was a nice, like, let's keep reminding you on a daily basis how much you need me. Because this is a daily walk. God meets us in our desert place. Third thing, God meets us where we are. And I'm so thankful. God met David there. What does David say? I cried to you and you heard me from your temple. You love me so much that you will meet me where I am. I tell people all the time, it's okay to not be okay. But we have a choice of getting out of it. And people, we live in an instant gratification society. I get mad if my Google browser doesn't load in 5 seconds. Anybody else? I remember dial-up internet. I mean, I do. You're like, okay, I do. But we live in an instant society. We want it and we want it now. What do they talk about with the best athletes? Man, that guy is really disciplined. He really cares about his sport. And we don't treat our spiritual lives that way. We focus on everything but. Number four, nourishment is essential mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Something that God really convicted me of is how much I was allowing other things to fill me. The last year and a half was really hard for me, and I think it was really hard for a lot of people. I dealt with anxiety that I had not dealt with ever. But what was my nourishment? The news. I'm not saying you have to be oblivious. I'm not telling you. Emily said live in a hole. I did not say that. But we have to be so careful with what we are constantly digesting. Like you tell your kids, if all they eat is sugar all day, well, one, you're going to lose your mind because they're going to be bouncing off the walls. But two, we don't feel good. It's like toxin. Sugar highs are not... Please enjoy cake. I'm not saying, okay, this is not a have a very rigorous diet speech. No. But we have to be so mindful of what we are feeding ourselves. Social media is not always a good thing. The news is not always a good thing. If all we're ingesting is negativity or how everyone's going to die or how everyone's going to fall apart, that's all we're going to think about because that's all we're nourishing ourselves with. And it takes, am I going to really redirect my thoughts? Part of nourishment for me, I have to figure out what the root of things are. Why am I struggling with this? Why am I having such a hard time letting this go? Why? You can't deal with things if you just keep cutting off the top. We have to dig at our roots. You got to dig them out. And you can't water them. Something else God said to me while I was in Arizona, Emily, you have already dealt with your root. Quit watering it. Quit watering it. Quit giving it life. You are the only one that's doing that. I haven't asked you to. You're choosing that. And again, we all have hardships. I have walked with people that are going through some hard things. I'm not saying that we don't have times that are hard. We do. But we have a part to play. God has designed every single one of us to live a life of peace, to live a life of joy, to live a life that understands this world is so temporary and everything may crumble around me, but he won't. What am I nourishing myself with? 5, guard your circle. I tell this to kids all the time. Your teenagers are in some of the biggest battles of their lives right now, especially if they love Jesus. But we have to be so careful. The men that were with David on his journey, his mighty warriors, they were people that were with, now some of them encouraged bad behavior, like go ahead and kill Saul, you know, after God had told him no. But you have to guard your circle. There are levels of friendship. We have acquaintances, people that we pour into, people that we talk to, or mentorships, people that you pour into. But you have to be so careful who you will let pour back in. You're the disciples, Jesus' inner circle, and David modeled this with Jonathan. Your inner circle better be people that are pushing you towards Jesus, not just, you know, casually bumping you, but loving you enough to say, stop. Loving you enough to say, Jesus has more for you. Loving you enough to say, there's something deeper going on here. Let's work through this together. I struggled with same-sex attraction. I had people that loved me enough to sit down and walk with me and say, let's figure out what's going on here. Let's help you be the image bearer, the imago Dei that you're supposed to be. So they weren't awful, mean, judgmental people, but they are people that love me, and more importantly, they love God. And if you expect the people around you to be perfect reflections of Jesus, you are in the wrong world. Pastor Steve and Robin love Jesus, and I can say this, and I know they won't be mad at me. They're not perfect people. They wouldn't claim to be perfect. We live in a world that spent so much time focusing on the church. Well, the church has hurt me. The church is full of broken people. And some of them, I'm going to say the S word, some of them really suck. But our hope is not in people. Your nourishment should not come from people. Yes, find people that are encouragers and will lift you up and push you on to the things of God. But if your world crumbles, minded too, because you have surrounded yourself with people that are broken or people that don't always get it right, your focus needs to reshift. Your nourishment needs to reshift. Last thing, don't give up the discipline. I wish that people understood, just like your normal routine takes discipline, going to work, that's a discipline. Getting up, feeding your children, feeding yourselves. Those are all disciplines. And the one that we let slide so easily is our time with Jesus. I am not trying to give you a legalistic approach to Christianity. I am trying to give you a life-giving approach to living. He is our source. Spending time with Him. And again, I'm not perfect. I'm telling you this from a place of understanding. I fail all the time. And God in His kindness brings me back. There's a verse in James, and actually, because I don't have my paper Bible here, because I'm a millennial, hold on. James 1, 5 through 8, this is the Living Translation. And Robin, if you and your team want to come up. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind, and every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you a solid answer. Wow. I think we have this idea that God is interested in a divine game of hide and seek. He's not. Do I hear clear instruction from the Lord all the time? No. Are there times when I have to just sit in His presence and wait and go, okay, I don't know what's happening, but yeah. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I don't understand my roots of things, if I'm not bringing everything under submission, if I'm not feeding my body, my mind, my spirit with things that aren't toxin. And I'm sure if I asked all of us right now, we could think of some things in our lives that are toxic. And we let them slide. A little bit of this. It's not a big deal. Don't stop chasing God. This last year and a half, I kind of alluded to this, was really hard. I'm going to wrap up with this and then the team will sing. But this last year and a half was really dealing with some things. And God spoke to me and He said, I need you to go on a trip and I need you to go by yourself. If we want to throw up this, I think there's just one picture. If we just want to throw up this last one. And God took me here. This is the Grand Canyon. This is Point Imperial. And I was in a pretty barren place. I am a mental health professional, and I was struggling. I'm going to tell you right now, this is my personal opinion. This is not scripture, so don't quote me on this. I mean, you can. Please don't. I think some of the boldest and best Christians are those that are so aware of their own humanity. So aware of their own brokenness. David was. Why do we look at him as a man of faith, as an image bearer of God? He knew he struggled. He knew it. And God called to me and He said, Emily, I need you to take a trip and I need you to go by yourself. And I am an extrovert and I spent 40 hours in the car by myself. Hallelujah. I made it. I'm here. I'm alive. But I went on this trip and I saw so many beautiful things. But as I stood, I was having a really hard time. Pastor Steve asked me to do this a long time ago, and I was having a hard time getting this to click and to connect. I'm like, okay, God, I feel like you want me to talk about the wilderness and these barren places and David being in a cave, but I don't get it. And God gave me a visual. I drove through the wilderness. Was I roughing it? No. I stayed at a hotel. I don't camp. Mm-mm. Nope. And I didn't hike very far because I was by myself and my entire friend group was paranoid. And I mean, I trip over air, so that's fine. But everyone was afraid I was going to end up in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. But I went. And as I'm driving up the North Rim, that's where I went. I was in Page, Arizona, and then I drove down to the North Rim. And the juxtaposition of this desert to this forest, I drive into this forest, and it is full of life, and it's full of trees, and it's full of ragweed that makes me sneeze. And I'm driving up. And parts of it had burned down. There were trees that had been, that were just dead. The forest had burned. And in the midst, I should have put a picture up, I just wasn't thinking, but in the midst of it, there were pops of yellow cottonwoods. Fall was happening up there. And God spoke to me very clearly, Emily, your life has been barren at points. But the nourishment that you need, the focus, that is where your color comes from. That is where your life comes from. Emily, the theme for my ministry is Isaiah. Oh my gosh, I can't remember the reference right now. That's embarrassing. It's remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Colorado River is at the bottom of that canyon. Water created that. God created that, but he used water. I went to Glen Canyon. Horseshoe Bend is there. It's where this image comes from for rebirth. That's the whole reason I took this trip. God wants to do a new thing. David understood, I'm in a dry and desert place, and God is saying, don't look back. Don't focus on those former things. I have come to give you life and life to the full. But you cannot do that if all you're feeding yourself is toxin, if all you're feeding yourself is negativity. There are literally times I probably look insane. I have said it in the bathroom at work, and I've not meant to, but a thought will come in, and I'll literally out loud go, nope. So if you hear that in the bathroom, I'm just having a therapeutic moment. We always, never mind, I'm done. Robin's going to hurt me later. But just, she loves me. But I literally, out loud, people, have you seen sports people in some of their disciplines? They look like weirdos. But why do they do it? To be the best at what they do. I out loud, nope, I'm not doing that. God, I take that thought captive. You don't always control what comes in, but you better believe you get to control what you do with it. If everybody could just bow their head and close their eyes real quick just before we get into this song. If there's anyone in this room that would say, I have not been taking care of my whole person. I have not been watering my spiritual life. I've been feeding myself with toxin or anything like that. Just so I can know who I'm praying for, if you would just slip up a hand real quick. Thank you. Offer this prayer over you today. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you knew your humanity would struggle. God, I thank you that you don't expect us to be perfect. God, I thank you, as Pastor Steve said, you're not done with us. You never are. God, I thank you that through your servant David, we get to see the highs and lows of humanity. We get to see people that knock it out of the park and people that struggle. But God, I pray for each and every person in this room that lifted their hand and said, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling myself with taking care of my whole person. The discipline isn't there, or I'm not feeding myself the way I should, or I'm not taking my thoughts captive. God, I'm in a desert place. But I want to surrender that to you and actually surrender that to you. Father, I pray that you would make us people of discipline. Father, that we would not be lazy in our pursuit of you, but that we would understand there's a real enemy out there who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, you win every time. I pray that we would live in the victory that you have designed for us to live in. God, give us your strength. Give us your spirit. Give us your power. God, we thank you for who you are. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.